It was the summer of 2022. I was working a shift in urgent care, and as I was going to pick up my next patient's chart, I realized that my heart is beating fast and I feel a little bit dizzy and a little bit lightheaded. I checked my pulse quickly and it seems to be racing. I asked the nurse for a pulse oximeter, and when I put it on my finger, it reads 135 beats per minute. That was the day I realized that I was burnt out. To understand how I got there, I think we need a little bit of background on myself and my childhood. I grew up in India in a middle-class family, and we lived in an apartment right across from the slums where there were kids going to the bathroom on the streets. We did okay according to standards in India at that time, but compared to the standard of living in Canada and the rest of the world, we would be categorized as a low socioeconomic status. Growing up there, success for me looked like somewhat status, power, and money. I never thought I would be able to afford a house or drive cars such as BMWs and Mercedes. And I've always chased that growing up to an extent, even though I'm not sure if I ever recognized it or if, even if I fully accepted as I talk to you guys today. My path to graduating from residency was at times uncertain. I failed one of my screening exams called USMLE Step 2CS after I graduated from med school in the Caribbean, and it took me 3 years to finally get a spot in family medicine at the University of British Columbia. And even then, I was rejected the first time, and I emailed them asking them to reconsider me for an interview, and thankfully they did. And now I am a practicing family physician, and I do a few other things I'll get into towards the end of this video. Even after I got into residency at one of the best schools in Canada, I was on remediation during residency, and then I also failed my board exam for family medicine after I graduated. Once I graduated residency, I finally had the opportunity to make an amount of money I never thought I would be able to make in my lifetime. So anywhere from a few $100,000 up to $1 million a year, if I worked in the right settings, and if I worked hard enough. So I started working as much as I could, not realizing that this was my way of validating myself and dealing with my insecurity of not being enough. I worked and I worked and I worked to fulfill this desire I had to feel like I was contributing to the world and to myself, and I was worthy of the success I had achieved up to at that point. I remember I got a job offer at one of the Harvard hospitals in Boston as a hospital medicine physician. And I finally felt that I had made it. Growing up in India, Harvard has this almost spiritual or religious connotation where you have achieved success if you've made it to Harvard to an extent. That didn't end up working out because of licensing issues between the US and Canada. And I moved to Vancouver to work as a full-time hospitalist at that point. I kept chasing status to an extent. I joined some committees. I was on the COVID advisory committee, and I was the hospital health officer. And I was taking care of one of the very first COVID patients at that point. I was getting paid fairly well as well, about $1,600 a day. And again, I never thought I'd be in a position to make that much money. As I kept working, I started realizing that I'm still not feeling fulfilled, and I'm not sure if this was still insecurity or just the need to do something different every day or something more. So, and again, money was still a factor here for me. I thought about improving inefficiencies in medicine and also making money at the same time. And the I landed at doing a startup. As I launched my startup, I continued working full time. My wife became pregnant and we had a baby. We moved provinces to be closer to family. And this all ended up with the summer of 2022, where I was working full time on my startup, in addition to a full time hospitalist gig and urgent care. And rehab hospital at times. And I was working about 100 hours a week, I'd say, with a newborn at home, although I was not helping much at home. And I was missing events and birthdays, for my family, which made me feel worse and drove me to work more so I can make more money and provide them more things to fulfill this desire or this guilt I had almost that I wasn't doing enough. This insecurity still drives me to an extent, although I have worked on it quite a bit. And as I sit here today, I'm working about 22 hours in clinical medicine a week, and I'm working on my entrepreneurial and creative endeavors, and I have a lot more balance. But I still feel this need to work a lot and get instant validation. I did this with my startup where I was putting out a blog a day. And part of the reason I was doing that is because I wanted instant feedback. I wanted the world to tell me what I was doing is valuable and for people to tell me that, what I'm doing is important, is helping them constantly. And my wife has been telling me this for, I'd say, the past 10 years, that that's arguably the wrong way to do things, which is interesting, because in the startup world, you're told to just work a lot, iterate really fast, and just constantly be working. But, I do think there's something to say about taking your time and taking it slow, or how Adam Grant calls it, moderate procrastination, in his book. So, after my burnout, what I did in the summer of 2022 is I went home and I laid in bed for a week, and I thought about, how did I get to where I am? I got up after a week and then kept doing the same thing for another, I would say another year, or 2 years. And I still fall victim to this mentality that I have to keep producing. I have to keep doing something different, something new. I have to keep seeking validation to be worthy. And I'm not really sure to be worthy of what. But it's just this drive to constantly improve on myself. And I think the world in a lot of ways rewards this mindset that you have to keep growing, you have to keep improving. And whether it be at work, in relationships, with money, with your physical health. And I do wonder if it's responsible for the burnout epidemic. And if there's a way to live life and build things and grow startups even in a more mindful, in a more balanced way. This is what I'm trying to do with my balance and with my work. So I'm, as I said, I'm 22 hours clinical. I'm playing around with launching a venture fund. I have an angel group of about 600 physicians that I manage, although it doesn't take too much of my time at this point. I have a podcast, which I have not been consistent with, and a newsletter that I have not been consistent with, although the podcast is what gives me quite a most of my joy, if I were to categorize into what brings me the most joy at work. I would say it would be this podcast because I like talking to people and I like sharing my ideas as well. I have not painted in about a year, and I used to paint quite a bit. And it's one of my creative outlets in which I feel like I can get lost into the art of what I'm doing and not worry about anything, if I'm being frank with you guys. When I'm painting, I feel like the only thing that exists is me and the canvas and the paint. And I'm not thinking about the world. And to be completely honest, my family or my kids or my wife or anyone. And I think having something that gives me that sense, and maybe some will call it escape, is important. And I am trying to incorporate more of that in my life as well. So, the reason for this video was to share my burnout story, what I learned from it, although I'm not sure if I've done that successfully. But the big takeaway I would say is that it's okay to not constantly chase things and not constantly grow. It's okay to just slow down sometimes and just be present and be mindful. And it's funny I say this because I did take a Vipassana, which is a silent meditation in which you meditate for about 10 to 12 hours a day and you don't talk to anyone, you're not allowed to exercise, and you're essentially in the state of complete silence. And I wish that as I was doing my startup and ramping up my work and taking a lot of overnight shifts and call shifts and, having these 100-hour weeks, I took time to plan my life a little bit more and plan for a little bit longer than, say, the next month, and thought about my longevity and my health. Well, I did that. The past 2 months, I've worked out almost every day, and I'm on a much better path now, although I'm still susceptible to falling victim to my insecurities and my mentality of constantly doing something and constantly improving and progress and requiring these short feedback loops for the work I'm doing. And this isn't necessarily external validation I'm seeking. This is internal validation largely, where I don't feel like I'm doing enough if I'm not constantly producing. So to end this short podcast, I will say it's okay to just rest. And this is mostly what resonate with people who are high achievers, who constantly overwork themselves for money or for power or for status, or because they're running away from something or running towards something. I think sometimes you should rest, and you need to take care of your physical and your mental body before you can do the work you need to do.